Welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. The Wellness Enclave will explore emotional health and its impact on everyday life. In the Enclave, we will address how emotional health is connected to other parts of your life, such as physical health, relationships, spirituality, and even decision making. Our goal in the Wellness Enclave is to help you become a healthier, happier you through motivation, education, and innovation. And now, the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell. Today, we'll be talking about mental health in the African-American community. This stands to be a really, really good show. I think it has a lot of information for our community. I hope my engineer, Dr. Greg, will kind of chime in and help me out a little bit since I'm in the studio by myself today. And again, I really hope you enjoy this show. You're listening to Dr. Donna Sewell on the Wellness Enclave, and we'll be right back after this brief break. Welcome back to the Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell, where emotional health and wellness is our top priority. Today, our topic will be mental health in the African American community. I'm going to start off with a few statistics, and then we'll kind of jump right into it. We will discuss barriers as well as what we can do to overcome those barriers, or even just to move forward with getting the care that we need and that we deserve. According to the 2014 Census Bureau, there are approximately 13.2% of the population identify as Black or African American. Keep in mind when we look at the census and we talk about 13.2% of the population identifying as Black or African American, we're also keeping in mind that they are including immigrants from African nations. They are including individuals from the Caribbean as well as Central America. 2.5% of those individuals identified as multiracial. Here are some stats that are extremely, extremely important. And again, keep in mind that we are representing 13.2% of the population But I want you to listen to these statistics as it relates to adversity and as it relates to care. 20% of adult black or African Americans are more likely to report serious psychological distress than adult white Americans. In 2015, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 27% of African Americans lived below the poverty level, compared to 10.8% of non-Hispanic whites. Now, in your mind, you may say, hey, what do these statistics have to do with mental illness? Let's look at this. Or just a person needing mental health care. Let's look at these things. Number one, I'm making up 13.2% of the population. So that means I'm a minority in this population. So that means I'm living amongst a set of people where their rules and their values and their norms and mores may not be the same values that I have or that I was raised with. So within itself, that lends itself to a little bit of pressure of constantly having to live a double life. Okay? So what that means is I may, even though I'm the same person, I may have to live one way when I'm at home and when I'm in my neighborhood, when I'm among family and friends, I may have to live another way when I go out to work and try to get a job and things of that nature. The other piece, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, and I just read this, 27% of African Americans live below the poverty level. If I'm living below the poverty level, that means that there are some things that I do not have. That means I'm facing some levels of adversity. So some of those things I may not have, guess what? If I am living below the poverty level, what that means is I'm working every day. That means I'm very stressed out about money. That means if I'm living below the poverty level, because there's a thing called Maslow's hierarchy of need. If I'm living below the poverty level, I need to get my basic physiological needs met first. That's according to Maslow's hierarchy. So that means I have no time to think about the tip of the hierarchy, which is self-actualization, meaning I can walk around with rainbows and sunshine and all of that other good stuff. I have to be concerned about meeting my basic needs. When I'm in the process of trying to meet those basic needs, guess what happens? I'm going to face adversity. Okay. So what do I mean by adversity? And I want you to keep this in mind. The adversity that we face as a minority population in this country actually increases the risk for us to develop mental health issues. So the adversity started off with slavery. Okay, then we move over to sharecropping. Then we move over to, and this is something that hasn't stopped, exclusion from educational, social, and economic resources. So I'm being faced with all of these things. It's almost like as soon as I come out of the womb, I'm already going to be dealing with a lot of issues, so I'm at increased risk for developing stress. You understand me, Mr. Greg?
I got you.
Okay. So let me show you how the cycle works on this. If I am a person who is facing economic pressure, social pressure, if I've been excluded from educational resources, if I've been excluded from economic resources, because keep in mind, sometimes education falls in line with the social and the economic, sometimes, not all the time. But if I'm being excluded from that, but I see other people who appear to be quote unquote succeeding and doing well, and these people are all on television, they're all on social media, they're all around me, then that's going to make me feel like I'm less than. That is going to make me feel angry sometimes. That is going to make me feel depressed. That is going to make me feel helpless. That is going to make me feel hopeless. And that can also decrease my self-esteem because I see everything and everybody around me appears to be succeeding in the media and everybody keeps saying, you should have this. America is the land of the free. I'm not knocking the United States, but you know that's our slogan. Am I close to that? Isn't that close? It's land of the free. You can do anything you want to. All you have to do is put your mind to it, land of opportunity. So all of this opportunity is passing me by because I have not had those options presented to me. And when I thought I had those options presented to me, I was shut out of it. I was excluded for whatever reason that may be. As a result, that increases our risk for for possibly developing mental health illness. In addition to that, statistics have shown that all ages of African Americans are more likely to be exposed to violent crimes. African Americans across all ages are more likely to be exposed to violent crimes than any other race or ethnicity in the United States. So that sets itself up for post-traumatic stress disorder. So that's another mental illness. Now, keep in mind, I talked about the poverty piece. That sets itself up for depression. That sets itself up for depression that's handled through substance abuse, can be handled through substance abuse. It may be handled through anger, may be handled through violence in your home, those types of things. So the exposure to violence, again, sets us up to post-traumatic stress disorder. It also sets us up for anxiety. Both of those pieces set us up for anxiety, which is a common mental health diagnosis amongst African Americans in this country for two reasons. Or let me give you an example. So one, let's start with the latter. If I'm exposed to violence, whenever I come out of my house, let's say the violence, I'm exposed to the violence outside of my home, not in my home. Whenever I come out of my house, I'm constantly looking around and I'm very concerned about what's going on. So I am forever on edge. I'm looking around, I'm afraid to come out of the house. When I come out of the house, I don't want to get out of my car to come back into the house. When I'm coming back in, I'm constantly looking around. I want to spend time with my children. I'm afraid to have to spend time with my children in the living room because every night at 7 p.m. when I sit down, bullets start flying. So you know what? I have to make sure they're in another room and hope that stray bullets don't hit. That's constantly on edge. And that's something that I'm not exaggerating about. I actually, I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. There used to be a particular housing project there. It's still there. One of the elderly people who lived in that project, and this was about maybe 15, 20 years ago, she stated that she had not eaten in her living room for about 8 years because she said, as soon as the sun goes down, it's nothing but stray bullets coming through here. Everybody's shooting. Now, again, that puts a person on edge. Suppose I'm exposed to violence in my home, because a lot of times what happens is when we become upset, as significant others, as spouses, even as parents, we take our anger out in a very physical manner, and sometimes we take it out on those who are closest to us. So if I'm coming into a home where I have a parent or a spouse or a significant other or a partner that is violent, again, that's causing me to have some anxiety, okay? So that's another piece or another factor that ties into why we're at increased risk for developing a mental illness or just having problems with our mental health. The next one is, can you guess what the next one is? I'm going to guess for me, Mr. Greg. As an African-American male, what do you feel like? Or first of all, I'm sorry, do you consider yourself as African-American? Let me ask. Okay.
Yes.
So let me be fair about that. Okay. So as an African-American male, what do you think would be the top? What do you think would be the top factor or variable that would increase your risk for having some type of mental illness or stressor?
All right, so you talked about violence.
Mm-hmm. Talked about poverty.
Poverty, yeah, the economics of mm-hmm. it. I don't know. I feel like there's something like maybe there's something educational or something along.
It is. We talked about educational a little bit. Racism.
Yeah.
Racism is the big one. With racism and when I talk about racism, I'm talking about when you are denied opportunity to move forward due to your race. That's what I'm talking about. You're denied opportunity. Not somebody says something derogatory about you, but you are denied an actual opportunity to move forward due to your race. That plays a lot on an individual who is trying to succeed in this particular country. And when I say succeed, I'm just talking about even just walking around being happy one day out of the week. You don't have to have millions of dollars or anything like that. Because what that does is, first of all, for many individuals who are African American, we're very well aware almost daily that we're African American. Not everyone, some of us that have that luxury, most of us are very well aware that we're African American when we're walking around. That's something that always stays in the back of our minds. There was some research done some years ago, and they placed African American children with white children, and they said, describe yourself, give me five characteristics. None of the non-Hispanic whites stated their race. Every African American child that was in that study, guess what? That was the first thing they said, I'm black. That was the first. So we're always cognizant of that. One of the reasons we're cognizant of that is because it is always it's not so much as a need, it's more of, in order for me to progress, and I don't have talent to play sports and nobody's picked me up being a musician or any of that stuff like that, or my family's not affluent and I can kind of make my own way. A lot of people feel like in order for me to progress, how can I stay true to myself, stay true to my integrity, stay true to who I am, and still progress in the business world or outside of this home, because people are going to view me a certain way. So because of that, then sometimes I feel like I have to speak a certain way. Sometimes I feel like I have to go to certain institutions. There are people who do not even want to acknowledge that they have gone to an HBCU or refuse to go to an HBCU because they have been convinced that HBCUs do not teach, they're not at the same level as majority institutions. And I'm talking about African Americans. And or they realize the HBCUs teach at the same level, but you know what? They'll say, I want to go to the HBCU, but I'm going to have to go to the majority university, because if I go to the majority university, I might be able to get a job when I get out. So you're constantly thinking about what do I need to do to move forward in a society where I am not the majority. Okay? Because of that, we don't realize it, but subconsciously, that puts wear and tear on you, because if you're constantly trying to a certain degree be included and almost assimilate, in essence, what you have said to yourself and what you've allowed to sink in is that I am who I am, and where I come from is not as good as this person here. So that adds, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So subconsciously, that is a huge stressor. Because, and here's the thing, the more you climb up on the ladder, regardless of what you're trying to do, what field you're trying to be in, the more you climb up, the more eyes are watching you, and the more you're looking and saying, I can't mess up. So it becomes very, very stressful, and you start to think more and more like, am I losing myself? Because people are getting comfortable saying certain things in front of me, or, you know, these types of things. And so that is a big thing. Racism, even just in terms of walking down the street, in terms of how you dress. You know, you may be trying to go and get a job, and just because you're dressed a particular way, and I'm saying you're neat. When I say you're dressed a particular way, you have to be neat. Let me be clear. Let me qualify that. But you're thinking, okay, I'm dressed a certain way, so they're going to think I'm a certain type of person. You know, the big thing when Trayvon Martin had on that hoodie, that was the big thing. Now, everybody who had on a hoodie was almost being stopped. That was an issue. So you have to look at that. You have to look at hairstyles. I remember my mom talking about Angela Davis when they were looking for Angela Davis. And Angela Davis is actually from Birmingham. And my mother was saying that they stopped every black woman with an afro. Everybody who had an afro that looked like her, they stopped. So again, sometimes it's hairstyles that you have to look at. When I go get this job, if my hair is braided, what are they gonna say to me? If I cut these braids, does that mean that my hairstyle is not as good as this person's hairstyle? And or does it mean I'm selling out? So all of those things play into our mental health, and they play into them subconsciously, and all of those, and in many instances, a lot of that is a form of, I'm not going to say it's the most pervasive form of racism, but it is a form, it's in that category, because in essence, what is happening is you have to look, have to behave, have to have a certain type of name in order to move forward. That's what we've been taught, and that's what we're constantly looking at. Okay. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, because I've also seen it on we talked about with the educational and then with those having trying to, you know, get a job and being looked at a certain way. It's been seen on the educational level. Mm-hmm. You know, there are schools. I read a story recently about a girl. I think she's in the sixth or seventh grade. And the school, this is a little black girl, and she was suspended from school because she had extensions in her hair.
Really? Like
her hair was braided, and it was very neat. This was a private school. They wear uniforms. Her hair was neatly done, but because she had extensions, that was a violation of the school dress code.
Right.
And she was suspended, and she had extensions the whole time she was at the school.
Okay.
But suddenly now it's a problem.
Right. And that plays a lot. That plays a lot, I feel like, in a person's psyche. And before we move forward, even in terms of talking about how the African-American community handles mental health. Also, when you look back, and let's look at the economics really quickly, and you remember Dr. Harris was here, and he was talking about how they handle substances in terms of what has become an epidemic and what wasn't an epidemic due to economics as well, is race. I feel the same way with the school shootings. The school shootings are very serious. We need to find out. We need to figure out alternatives, or we need to figure out what's going on to minimize that, really to stop it from happening, but at the very least minimize those school shootings from happening. But if I'm a child in Chicago or any of some of the major cities, and I can't even walk home without bullets whizzing past me, or I can't study in my living room without bullets coming that aren't meant for me, and they aren't meant for anyone in my family. And maybe this ends up on the news, and maybe it doesn't. It's just in passing. But then there's a school shooting, and because it happens in a certain area with a certain set of with a certain economic group, now all of a sudden we really have to do something. Is really important. We really have to do something. So if I'm a child that's sitting up looking at that, what does that say to me subconsciously about how my life is valued? That adds on to your stress. The self-esteem piece that adds on to your stress. So how many minutes do we have before break? Because I'm getting ready to get into the...
We can take a break here.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back from the... we'll be right back in the Wellness Enclave. This is Dr. Donna Sewell, and we're talking about mental health in the African-American community.
Hi there, healthy people. Do you have a healthy product or service? If you are a certified medical professional, fitness trainer, author, or chef, Old Fashioned Health would love to promote your services or product on the Old Fashioned Health Radio Show. Please reach out to us. Call 404-793-3960 or email us at oldfashionedhealth@gmail.com. You can also contact us at oldfashionedhealth.com. Old Fashioned Health, good health inside and out.
Get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, when your head is much lighter. Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Welcome back to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell, where emotional health and wellness is our top priority. Today we are talking about mental health in the African-American community. So prior to break, I was talking about some of the factors that lead to us being at increased risk for developing mental illness. Now, please keep in mind, and I mentioned this on the first show, you can always seek therapy, and it may just be a situational piece. You can go and talk to somebody, and you can talk to someone just for a few sessions. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have a diagnosis. You just may need to learn some coping skills in terms of how to deal with anxiety or how to deal with stress or how to deal with depression. Sometimes you may need medication, but again, not always. Sometimes it's just merely going to speak with someone. So when I use the term mental illness, I'm not necessarily saying that you have a mental diagnosis. It's just saying that your mental health may not be at its best. So if your mental health is not at its best, then that means that you cannot reach your full potential. So moving forward, how do we in the African American community handle mental health? How do we deal with that? Well, we don't. Okay, and that is an issue. We're getting much, much better with being open about going to therapists and about going to seek assistance and going to seek help. But we still have a long ways to go. But again, we're improving a great deal. Why is it that we don't seek mental health care? I can't go over all of them. I'm only going to go over a few reasons why. One of them being that we're unable to recognize mental health issues. A lot of times we don't even know how to identify mental health issues. When I was growing up, a lot of times people had an uncle or an aunt or something like that, and he or she stayed back in a room. And when the kids wanted to go back and talk to the aunt or uncle, they were like, oh, leave Uncle Joe alone. He's just like that. Just leave him alone. Uncle Joe had some mental health issues. We didn't know that, and the community didn't know that. All we knew is, hey, is something going on with him or her? You know, just don't bother them. So in many instances, we don't know how to identify when we are having some concerns or stressed out or we're dealing with some mental health issues. Another piece is, when I was growing up, we were raised anything that happens in the house needs to stay in the house. So that means if I have experienced any type of trauma or abuse as a child or a young person in that home, and subsequently that is going to impact me negatively once I become an adult. And even if I know that may be an issue, or even if I just say something is wrong, but I don't know what, I don't know why I behave like this, I don't know why I'm unable to maintain any type of relationship, intimate or platonic, we are not going to go to a therapist because we're afraid that those issues might come back up, number one. And number two, we were told it was ingrained in us, it happened in the home, leave it in the home. So that's another reason we don't seek counsel. The other piece is we have a mistrust or a distrust of authorities. And that's fair because of so many things that have happened. And actually, when you read the statistics, and I know I have a short period of time, so I'm going to have to run through this. When you read through the statistics, what it does state is that an African-American male can go into an office and state the same set of symptoms that a white male does. The white male will get a diagnosis of mood disorder, which is something like depression, and they'll give the black male a diagnosis like schizophrenia, which are two totally different diagnoses. And so us having a mistrust, that's valid, and it's not just a Tuskegee experiment, it's a lot of things. Those things are valid, but still we have to go and seek care. If it's not the right person for you, or you don't feel like that's the medication you want, or it's the right diagnosis, you can always go to another therapist or a person to help you out, or a mental health worker, or a doctor, even a physician. Another piece, we're afraid of being over-medicated, which I just talked about. Poor access to treatment. Also, even with Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act, we are still looking at, as of 2014, approximately 15.9% of African Americans do not have insurance, do not have health insurance. Another piece is we rely heavily upon faith and spirituality. Spirituality is very, very, very important. You hear me talk about that all of the time. Spirituality is very important. If you're a religious person, faith is very important. It's important for your support. It is very important. But here's the thing, and I don't mean this in a callous way. If I'm hearing voices or I'm seeing things and no one's there, and this is not substance induced, no alcohol or drugs are induced. If I'm hearing voices, no alcohol or drugs or anything like that, no traumatic brain injury, nothing, and they're telling me to kill people, or they're telling me to kill myself, or they're saying different things, or just the mere fact that you're hearing voices and there's no one in the room, you need to go and get care. The faith and the spirituality will sustain you, but it's okay to go and get care. My philosophy is that's why God put people on the earth is to help you, right? He put them on the earth. You're not going to be damned to hell if you go and seek care. It's okay. Keep your faith, keep your spirituality. They will absolutely pull you through, but if you need other assistance, that's why the people are there. That's another reason. Cultural competence is another piece. Many of us have concerns about going to sit up in front of someone and not only just spill our guts and tell our business to somebody that we don't know, but also Another issue is, are they going to understand problems that are specific to me because I'm a minority and they're not? So you can always seek out a therapist that is a minority. You have the right to ask. You have the right to say, hey, I want a female, or I want a female therapist, or African-American female, Hispanic female, Hispanic male. You have the right to do that. That's your right. So I'm at about a minute and a half. So really quickly. So what results from poor mental health or when we don't follow up with our mental health? Poor physical health, because all those things are tied in. Physical and mental health and spirituality are all tied. Spiritual wellness are all tied in. Mental illness such as chronic depression and anxiety, meaning you may end up having to take medication because you let these things go for so long. Sometimes the abuse of drugs, alcohol, and or food. You have an inability to cope with things, and basically constant feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, and sadness. So if you need assistance and if you need help, there are a few places that you can go, or you can look up online, or you can call. Of course, if you feel like you want to harm yourself, I always say call 911. The other piece is they have something called the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which you can find online. The National Alliance of Mental Illness, they always have a chapter in every state, especially Fulton County. GCAL, Georgia Crisis Access Line, you can call them if it's something really immediate or imminent. Go online for Psychology Today, and you can go to your job, and we talked about this earlier in terms of you can look up the Employee Assistance Program. Your job should not know why you're going. Everything is confidential, and you should have that particular service to you as an employee on most jobs. So I am hearing that I am out of time. I thank you for listening, and again, I hope this helps someone, and I hope you guys have a happy and healthy week. And this has been Dr. Donna Sewell with the Wellness Enclave. Thank you. See you next week.
This has been the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. Join us each Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. on WWE The Real 1100 AM. We look forward to growing with you.
Thank you for listening to another Old Fashioned Health Network show on The Real 1100.